Kings chapter 17, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Our text will be verses 7 through 16, but hear now the word of God. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, "Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar, and a little oil in a jug, and now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and for your son, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, we focus our thoughts this evening on the passage before us in which it declares that the word of the Lord was given to his servant. God spoke his word in the midst of the human affairs in the day of Elijah and Ahab. And when God speaks, his servant listened. Elijah was one who listened to the word of God. When God spoke to him, he obeyed. You see that as you read through the entirety of the narrative of Scripture concerning Elijah the prophet. Over and over and over again, the writer of Scripture says, "And the word of the Lord came to the prophet saying." And what we find is that when the word of the Lord came to the prophet, he was listening, he heard it, and he obeyed. Here in our passage, the word of the Lord came to announce God's gracious plan to save Elijah alive and to preserve him in the midst of this very difficult time that he had announced that would come upon Israel. God commanded him to go from the presence of the king to live by a brook for a period of time where he would be fed by ravens, an odd messenger of food, if you will, and he would be able to drink from the brook. And then that turn of events in which he says, "And then go to Zarephath," and notice it says in our text, beginning at verse 8, "Arise, go to Zarephath," verse 9, "which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." God's purpose for Elijah was revealed in this truth. Go to Zarephath. He had commanded him to go to the brook and he would be fed there. Now he commands him to go to Zarephath. And all of this God is planning to save Elijah. Now, any one of the 7,000 people that we know later, as it's revealed, who were still faithful to God would have no doubt taken Elijah in. Obadiah took 50 prophets, two bands of 50 each, and hid them in caves, and he brought them food and water during this great period in which there was hardly anything found for food in all of Israel. Even Obadiah would have been pleased to have served the Lord to preserve Elijah. But God's purpose was that Elijah would be preserved by the hand of this woman in Sidon, or Sidon, a woman who lived in the very land that belonged to whom? The father of Jezebel, who was now the queen with Ahab, the king, over all of Israel. God commanded Elijah to go there, and he was saved there because God was taking away the blessing of the prophet Elijah from the midst of the people. He was taking away the office bearer, the one through whom God's word came to his people, and he was removing the office bearer from Israel and bringing him to another land. The symbolic meaning of that is that the gospel was leaving Israel, because the gospel was tied up with the word of the Lord that was proclaimed and preached through Elijah. And when God sent Elijah first to the brook Cherith and then out of the country to the land of Sidon, God was saying in the same breath that with him goes the gospel ministry. God was punishing Israel, removing from Israel the very instrument through which the word of God was preached, the prophet, because Israel had forsaken the Lord and his word. Because Israel had forsaken the Lord and his word, he was removing his word from Israel. He was removing his word as a judgment upon the idolatry of the nation, of the people that he had called his very own. And the sovereign word of the Lord was not only bringing a judgment against this nation, but against the powerless, impotent Baal gods that the nation now served. The one that they cried out to for rain, who could produce not one drop. There was no use in praying to Baal for rain, even though they believed he was the God who brought it all about. Because the only way that the blessing of rain would come upon the land of Israel, the only way that any blessing would come upon the land of Israel, was through the word of the living God. And when the word of God was sent out of the country in the person of the prophet, it was that the judgment of God would fall upon Israel. Now, the Lord would speak again, and he would bring rain. We know that. But at this juncture, he is bringing about the judgment upon the people for their disobedience. He is sending Elijah not only out of the country, but where is he sending Elijah? Not just to Sidon, which is the land of Jezebel and her father who ruled over it as king, but it was a Gentile nation. The woman that he sends Elijah to feed him there, the lady at Zarephath, this poor widow who is about ready to die, as the story reveals it, was a Gentile, not a member of the covenant family, not under the covenant blessings, not one who had received the covenant promises. But God brings the blessing of his word to a Gentile in the day of Israel as a result of the faithless, godless living of the people of Israel. And we find that Jesus himself speaks to this passage in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where he says there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah. Everybody knew that. But why does Jesus say that? He was sent to the woman in Zarephath, the widow in Zarephath. Why? Because of the unbelief of the people of Israel. Because of their unbelief, God brought the judgment of removing his word, sending Elijah to the Gentile nation and bringing the word of God there. The word of grace was connected with Elijah, and when it was removed by him being sent out of the country, it was a symbol that God was removing his blessing from his people, judging them. And in this, God reveals his way of blessing. And the blessing is this, that where God directs, we are to go. Notice that in our passage, God says to the prophet, arise, go to Zarephath, and dwell there. There was no other Super 8 motel that would have done. There is no other Motel 6 that he should have stopped at along the way. There is no other place that he should have gone to except where God designated was there. And then it goes on from there and it says, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. I will sustain thee there, is the way the old King James translation has it. I love that word. I will sustain thee there. He went in the strength of that promise to tell a poor widow who was scratching two sticks together, who had nothing, whose hope was I'm going to eat a meal and I'm going to die, that there was going to be a blessing. And that blessing was going to come from the Lord. How cruel could Elijah be to go to that widow and say, feed me first? But he does. And when he doesn't do it out of cruelty. He does it out of faith. Because he had this promise. The Lord said, I will sustain thee there. When he got there, he was in the place of blessing, where God had promised that he would pour out his blessing. When we're in the place of blessing and obedience, God blesses his people. This ought to speak to our hearts about how we fulfill our plans and our purposes. Are they those plans and purposes of our own devising? Or do we, like the psalmist, say, my soul, wait thou only on the Lord? We contrive some way of getting out of our difficulties, and then we ask the Lord to bless our plans. Just like King Saul, when Samuel didn't arrive just at the right time, he tried to force things and he did things his own way. And then Samuel the prophet came later on and said, why haven't you done what the Lord said? And he threw all these excuses out there, and Samuel came to that great conclusion that says it is better to obey than sacrifice. The place of obedience is the place of blessing. And if Elijah said, you know, I think I'm going to stick around. I think I like it here in Israel. This is where I grew up. Why should I go up there to Sidon? They're just a bunch of heathens up there. You know, that's where Jezebel came from. She's the one that brought all the problems here in the first place. Why should I go up there? Why can't I stay here where I know my circumstances? I can make do. No, the prophet, in obedience to the word of God, knows that there is only one spot on the face of the earth where he would prosper in obedience to the word of God. And where was it? There in Sidon, the widow at Zarephath. Outside of Israel, God blesses this family. This woman who was about ready to give it all up and facing death. I mean, she was really serious. She's blessed beyond her wildest expectations. When Elijah was at the brook Cherith, what occurs at the brook? He gets speedy delivery service. Morning and evening, his needs are met. They bring these birds of heaven, bring ravens to feed him according to the word of God. And morning and night, they brought bread and meat. And he drank out of the brook. There was a source of water because God had ordained that there was where he would be blessed. We'll see later that Ahab and all of his people were looking everywhere throughout the kingdom for sources of water during this period of drought. That's recorded later. Elijah didn't have to look for water. God said, there, that's where you'll be blessed. He didn't have to look for food. There is where you'll be blessed, whether it's at the brook Cherith or at the widow at Zarephath. God preserved his prophet in the way of obedience. And it's all because he heard the voice of God and the word of God, and he submitted to it. God was preserving this prophet, the instrument of his special revelation, the one who bears the covenantal promise and the redemptive word, because Elijah was being preserved because God was still not done with Israel. If God was done with Israel, he would have taken Elijah out of Israel and he would have wiped them off of the face of the earth. But there was still a plan, there was still a purpose, and there was still a reason to wait upon the Lord. And like Elijah, we must wait upon the Lord and listen to his word and its promises and rest our all in it. I find it interesting that in this passage, the Lord announces his sovereign choice, and he tells Elijah that this is going to be how you're going to be preserved, a widow. I think that's a pretty unlikely candidate for someone to provide for someone else when you think about it. She was poverty-stricken. She was ready to die. And she was outside of Israel. She was a Gentile. First, Elijah is served by the ravens, which are unclean animals. And now he is served by an unclean person, because in the time of Israel, a person who was not an Israelite was considered unclean, that is, unholy. The people of Israel were to be the holy people, and the ones who were outside of Israel were not. But here God says, I'm going to give you help outside of the covenant community. I'm going to give you help from this one who is a widow, who has hardly anything, who's broken and despairing. She was a sorry sight, a woman on the verge of death, who was called upon to sustain the ministry of the word of God. But how often God uses what little we have to accomplish his great purposes. His purpose of redemption and grace and salvation are not dependent upon the thickness of our wallet or the bigness of the amount in our checkbook, but he is dependent upon those who are willing to submit to his word, and he uses our weakness to demonstrate his power and his glory. So we should not despair if we find ourselves like this widow in weakness. Because God chooses, as Scripture says, the weak things of the world to confound the wise and proclaim his purposes. Who would have thought that God would have chosen a widow of Zarephath to preserve Elijah? I mean, this is ironic that God would send Elijah to a poor widow in Zarephath in an ungodly nation, where there probably were many wealthy Israelites who would have welcomed him. But God has his purposes. So let us not despair when we find ourselves like this widow in times of weakness. We don't need to be despondent and say, how could I ever be of any use whatsoever? I don't have any ability. I don't have any strength. I don't have what it takes, when it's God who uses his, Paul says, his brand of foolishness, which is wiser than man's wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:25, and his weakness, which is stronger than man's strength, to demonstrate his glory. He can use any of us as unlikely candidates that we may be. God also uses an unlikely ministry. He preserves the word in an unlikely place in Zarephath, in a widow's home, But this widow hears the word of grace. The enemies of God are used and led to do the very thing that Israel was called to do, to bear the word of the Lord. And God was demonstrating the absolute powerlessness of the hideous and sinful Jezebel by hiding his servant in Jezebel's backyard. That was not only the kingdom from which she came, but it was the region from which she came as well. It demonstrates the power of God, who, as the psalmist says in Psalm 2, laughs at his enemies and those who would raise their voices against him. Because even here we see God uses an unlikely ministry in a Gentile woman in a foreign land to accomplish his purpose. And he announces the unlikely path for Elijah to take, that is, trusting the Lord. He got no encouragements from appearances. He merely had to walk in obedience and faith to the revealed word of God. But you see, that's what Elijah had, was faith in the word of God. He trusted that word of God. He trusted that when God said that he would sustain him there, that that word couldn't fail. There was no other reason that he could walk up to that woman and say, "Feed me first and God will provide for you." The only way that he could do that was he trusted the word of God that said, "I will sustain you there." And God's promises never fail. He leaned on those promises. He lived by faith in God's word. If he had left the brook Cherith without orders and without a word from God, how could he have counted on the blessing of the Lord? He couldn't. It's only those who walk with God, who trust him implicitly and are regulated by his word, that find that his word is the way of blessing. And when we see our circumstances, we need to look at them in the light of God's word, his truth, and his promises. Do we wait on the Lord? Do we walk by faith, trusting in him, even though we don't see our way out of the darkness or the problem that we're in? Do we seek to regulate our life by the word of God and submit to its truth? Like Elijah, we should listen to the word and submit by faith to everything that God says. And then notice lastly that God announces his blessing. He's going to bless. He announced, "I will feed you there." God had selected this widow. He knew her from before she was born, that she would be the sovereign instrument through which she would serve the purpose of the Lord in preserving his servant. He calls us to be committed to him by faith as well, to submit all that we are and all that we have to him, to be like the widow of Zarephath and like Elijah, his servant, committed to a total reliance upon the Lord and upon his word. We receive those blessings by faith. I believe that this widow exalts the Lord and trusts the Lord and exhibits a faith in the Lord by resting in the word that came through the prophet to her from the Lord. What God promised in his word, he will surely, surely carry out. That's the promise that she had. So she could joyfully go into her kitchen with the last bits of things that she had to prepare a meal, knowing that the promise of the Lord was not going to let her down. And it didn't, because it tells us in this passage that she did exactly what Elijah said. She went into the kitchen. She made a meal and she served it to him, and she and her household ate. But what does it say? Not that they ate and died. No. Or that they ate and they had a little bit left over that they saved for the next day. No. Just verses before, she said, "We're going to eat our last meal and die." Now it says, "And she and her household ate for many days." and the jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that was spoken by Elijah. God's word did not fail the widow at Zarephath. God's word did not fail the prophet Elijah, who had to flee from a king that wanted to take his life and a queen who had vowed revenge. God's word did not fail. He ate well all the days that he was in hiding from the king and the queen of Israel. God's word did not fail then. It cannot fail now. God's word cannot fail you. It cannot fail you. You may trust his word. You may trust his promises. You may trust that what he purposes, he will accomplish. You may know that he has you in the very hollow of his hand. And no matter what it is that you face, or no matter what it is that you experience, you may know that the word of the Lord for you is certain and sure, because that word of the Lord comes from the God who is faithful and who is always faithful to his word. He calls us to be committed to that word, faithful and obedient to what he has revealed. And through that obedience and faithfulness, he calls us to receive the blessings that he has for us in Christ Jesus, to those who keep covenant with him. These are the promises and the blessings that are ours through Christ Jesus, who is greater than Elijah, who is the one that God fulfilled. All of his promises are in Christ Jesus, yea and amen, says the scripture. And in him, we have all that we need. Trust his word. Trust in the living word, the Lord Jesus. Receive that word, and may it be that which sustains you and gives you your strength each day. Amen. Let us pray.